I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Jake Isaacs. He is a serial integrator and co-founder of Gathering the Kings. Gathering the Kings is an entrepreneurial mastermind and coaching group. Jake is a champion of operational clarity, team leadership, and community-driven growth. He shares real-world strategies for building businesses and people that last. He's passionate about servant leadership, youth entrepreneurship, and leading with faith in every season. Not only that, not only is he helping people grow their businesses, it's doing so without sacrificing family, which I think is tough. So tune in. I think this will be interesting. Jake, welcome.
Craig, thanks. I appreciate you letting me be here.
Yeah. So you're in Kansas City?
Yes, sir. I am now.
Yeah. Where were you before?
Yeah, that's an interesting story, Craig. I tell people that I'm a child of the world. By the time I had turned 18, my family had moved 12 times. Non-military family. My dad was either just really good at what he did or he sucked at it. But it seems like every time we moved, we got a little bit bigger house and a little bit nicer car. So,
oh, nice. Nice.
I moved to Kansas City about a year ago. Before then, I was living in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's quite a change.
Huge change. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Where, you know, so as you were growing up, was there one place in particular that you were growing up more than others?
Yeah, so this is my third stint in my life living in Kansas City. So it keeps pulling me back. If I were to tell someone like where my childhood memories come from, it's from living here in Kansas City.
Wow. And you mentioned you were a football player. Is that where you played football?
No, funny enough, it's not. When I was little, we lived in Houston, Texas. And two kids on my street in Houston broke their neck playing high school football. And so my mom vowed that she would never, ever, ever let me play football in my entire life. So I grew up playing baseball. It was actually my sport. And we moved to high school, or we moved to Chicago right as I was becoming a freshman in high school. And my dad was just an advocate of me doing some type of sport. And the three options were soccer, cross country, or football. And I'm not built to be a runner. And I don't have any type of foot-eye coordination, so soccer was totally out. So they let me play football. And funny enough, three years into playing football, I broke my neck playing football and just broke my mom's heart.
I bet. What would recovery look like?
Yeah, great question. I had paralysis on the left side of my body for about 7 months. So I couldn't feel anything. Every time I'd take a step, I couldn't feel it. Couldn't feel anything with my left hand. I was in a halo collar for about 5 months. And it was just a lot of just learning how to do basic functions again.
Wow. Wow. I'm guessing that was the end of football.
It was the end of football. I ended up going to college at a small NAIL school playing baseball. And when I was registering for classes on campus, the football coach was sniffing around and he was like, "I'll pay for college if you come play for me." And I was like, "It's not worth my life, my man. I apologize." And he's like, we can put you in a position where you won't get hit." And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's on the bench.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what that is. So yeah, didn't play college past high school, or didn't play football past high school.
Wow. Wow. So help me connect the dots. How did you get from that to running a mastermind group?
Yeah. Yeah, you used the title serial integrator in your introduction, and that's a title that my business partner has given me. And it just really fits kind of my career trajectory really well. Whereas he is a serial entrepreneur with a portfolio of all types of different businesses. I've been the number two in a lot of really interesting organizations. I've always been very operational minded. I love bringing clarity where there is chaos. And so systems and procedures and building teams, things like that have just come very naturally to me. And through watching my mom and dad strive for success and always moving around the country and, climbing to the next rung on the ladder, I was able to perpetuate that same mentality or mindset as an adult for myself. So, got started as a CEO of a small local moving company, and from there I moved into hospitality, and I was running hotels for Marriott and Hilton, and I was kind of turned into a little bit of a fixer for them, where they would bring me into different properties all across the country and turn them around before they would lose their ability to call themselves a Hilton or a Marriott. So from there, just continued to, become really good at the operational side of things. And my business partner and I have been buddies for about 19 years, and he said, "Hey, I got this idea. I think us doing it together would be amazing, and I would love to talk to you about it." And one thing led to another, and here we are.
So I'm really curious, what were some of the things, what were the hotels screwing up that put them in jeopardy, and how'd you fix it?
Yeah. What most people don't understand is most hotels are franchises. There are very few hotels that are actually owned and operated by Hilton or Marriott or Holiday Inn. And so, in order to maintain the name on the outside of the building, they have to hold a minimum standard. And that's around cleanliness, that's around food quality, that's around customer service, that's around maintenance, different aspects of the actual day-to-day operations of a hotel. And so for a franchise system like Hilton or a franchise system like Marriott, you can be in the red, what they call in the red, which means failure standards for 3 quarters in a row. But if you fail it for the fourth quarter, then you're in jeopardy of losing your ability to call yourself a Hilton or a Marriott. And so I would go into a hotel that was either 2 or 3 quarters into the red and turn around the operations so the owner could continue to operate as a Hilton or a Marriott property.
Okay, and what were some of the things that were broken? What I mean, high level concept, I get what you're doing, but kind of nuts and bolts. What were
Yeah.
you saw people screwing up?
The single thread of all of the hotels that I went in was just a lack of the owner putting money back into the hotel, not investing in their team, not investing in cleanliness, not investing in maintenance. As you can imagine, if you've got guests that are lifting the toilet lid of a hotel toilet, 700 times a year, then it breaks down easily if someone's not paying attention to making sure that it stays tightened and those type of things. And really, it's lack of attention from the owner and the manager around basic things, making sure that we're replacing the caulk on the shower tub so it doesn't get mildewy. Silly things like washing oh my gosh, the shower curtain. Sorry, like, let's take the shower curtain actually off of the shower rod and go wash it. And just little things like that that bring a elevated level experience for the customers that you don't necessarily know, but can feel when you're in the room.
Yeah. I'm thinking about one brand. I don't want to say their name on air, but the it's wild. I'll go into one of their hotels and it's like one of the nicest hotels I've stayed in. Then I go in another one and it's, the Roach Motel. The place is beaten down
Yeah.
and it's just such a dice throw. It becomes a little bit of a scary brand to book a stay with because I never know what I'm going to get.
Right. Yeah, and that's one of the things that is beneficial in a big franchise system like both Hilton and Marriott have created for themselves, is the standards are the standards regardless of where you go. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in, Pensacola, Florida or Portland, Oregon. If you go to a Hampton hotel, you're going to experience the same smell soap, the same feel, the same sheets, the same sausage hockey puck at both of those locations, regardless of where you're at in the country.
And one of the things that's really interesting is, what you were talking about is just kind of the basics, the fundamentals. And I story that I like to tell was when I was in Japan with the Marines, we were over on the Japanese side of the base once having a picnic, shop picnic, and we saw these Japanese playing softball, and so we challenged them to a softball game. And we thought we would kill them. Here we are. We're from America, and we're strong and healthy and what have you. They cleaned our clock. It wasn't even close. And when I looked at it, it was like it wasn't that they were doing anything extraordinary. We have one guy that played for us. His nickname was literally the Barbarian. I mean, the guy was just strong, and he was going to be our home run hitter. Well, the Japanese weren't hitting home runs. They were just executing the fundamentals flawlessly.
Yep. I watched a clip, arguably the greatest baseball player in MLB right now is Shohei Ohtani from Japan. And I watched a clip the other day of him just correcting one of his teammates in the way that he held the bat. He was holding it a little lower than 90 degrees, from his end position. And like Shohei like raised it up just a little bit, told him that's where he kept it. And literally the next at bat, the guy went out and hit a home run. And it's that, to your point, what you're saying, what you experienced over there playing against them, it's that little degree of separation where you know what you need to do, but you're not doing the basics repeatedly over and over and over again. And the intentionality around doing the basics over and over and over again, and just falling in love with the minutia of the unsexy things in business, that's the difference between success and someone who can never figure out what to do next.
And that's, I mean, I want to dwell there for a minute because I think that's really powerful. I mean, so I do marketing, and the thing you see in the marketing world is, oh, hey, this is the latest thing. We're doing these challenges, or we're doing this. And it's always some tactic that, delivered somebody like extraordinary a home run. And everybody's out hunting for the home run, and they're not getting on base.
Yeah, 100%. It's funny. We see that all the time with some of the entrepreneurs that we work with. The thing that got you to be successful, you want to change because you either have anxiety around doing the same thing over and over and over again, or you're seeing someone else, promote the new shiny penny. So you feel like you need to do that as well. And we go away from the things that got us to where we're at because it's no longer fun to do, even though it gets results.
Well, and something else that hit me as you were talking, it reminded me of this. A number of years ago, I realized that the margin of excellence is really, really small. And so let's stick with the baseball analogy. And you
Yeah.
probably know these numbers. Last season, how many people batted over 300?
Oh, not very many. Yeah, I mean, to be a career 300 or even to have a 300 season is a good season. I think the average batting or the average batting average for Major League Baseball last year was like 210 or something like that, which essentially means when you go to the plate, you're only going to get a hit 10 or 2 out of every 10 pitches that you're given. Which is insane to think that you're going to fail 80% of the time.
So a batting average of 200 is 2 out of 10 pitches.
Right.
How many do you think batted below 200?
Oh, over 50% of the league.
You'd be shocked. When I check these stats, I'm not a baseball guy, but I like
Okay.
the analogy.
Yeah.
Last season, only two batted under 200.
Really?
Usually that number is zero.
Wow.
There's 750 batters in the
Okay.
league.
Yeah.
nine batted over 300, two batted under 200. Historically, what it looks like to me, I don't know for certain, but if you're batting below 200, you're getting ready to get sent down to the minor leagues to work on your game. So the margin of excellence there between being the best of the best and fired is out of 10 at bats, one extra time.
That's crazy.
Connecting with the ball one extra time.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And I think it's that way for businesses. I just think the margin of excellence is really, really narrow. We go look at we're out looking for home runs and we never get on base.
Yeah, I think, the nugget in what you're saying there is most people are going to quit because they don't hit the home run. And so they're just going to stop doing it altogether. I think that real success in business is boiled down to how much pain can you tolerate and how much endurance do you have? Just if you don't quit, you can't not win.
Yeah. So how does all this wrap into Gathering the Kings? First off, what is Gathering the Kings and how does this all tie into that?
Yeah, so Gathering the Kings is kind of a two-part system. We have a community feel to it, a community mastermind program. For those of your listeners that are familiar with Geno Wickman and the EOS system, Geno talks about all business owners need three things essentially to run a good business. They need a coach, they need a community, and they need a system, an operating system to apply to the business. And Gathering the Kings satisfies the coaching and the community aspect for business owners to be able to plug into. We are what I like to say is industry agnostic, but that's just kind of a fancy way of saying our business owners inside of our mastermind program do everything. We are not industry specific. We've got people in the trades, we've got people in financial services, we've got people in tech. And the cool thing about bringing people in from a lot of different fields and industries is it's a phrase we like to call the agitation of thought. You as a marketer, Craig, can be talking about something that you're doing right now for your business, and that could rattle something loose for a client who runs a garage door company as a new and innovative a way to approach what you do inside of your industry into theirs.
Yeah. And what does it look like? I mean, in terms of execution, if I show up, what does it look like? What happens?
Yeah, so the majority of what we do, it's all virtual because we've got people from all across the United States that participate. We have like a high-level strategy meeting once a month. It's on in the mornings once a month where we'll spend a couple hours together, like really getting into the nitty-gritty of each other's businesses. People will come with problems, and as a group, we'll workshop different solutions and different ideas to kind of help them move to the next level of business and get unstuck. And then we also have weekly tactical calls. I believe that regardless of the widget or the business that you run, all businesses need to master these four things. They need to master sales and marketing. They need to master operations or fulfillment. They need to master hiring and people leadership, and they need to master finances. And so once a month, we will cover one of those topics in a very tactical manner, teaching people how to build a funnel or how to write a P&L or write a budget so they can manage their P&L throughout the course of the month.
Yeah. And, one of the areas you mentioned was fulfillment. I was literally having a conversation this week with somebody who's in sales. He's not getting his commissions because the fulfillment team's not delivering. Now, all of a
Terrible.
sudden
Yeah.
you have a sales problem and a operations problem.
Yes. Yeah. And very quickly you're going to have a demotivated workforce.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Now, help. Why the name Gathering the Kings? That's a really interesting name.
Yeah, we wanted something that was a little bit different, a little bit catchy, and we also believe that kingship is a mindset, right? That if you are someone who is a family-oriented entrepreneur, regardless of whether you're a male or a female, that you have a desire to provide for the people that are in your life, whether that's your immediate family or your community or your employees' families. And good kings back in the day, they took care of the people around them. They provided opportunity. They carried weight. They protected. And so those are the type of people that we're interested in surrounding ourselves with.
Neat. And what other things make stand out is, and I guess one of the things I'm thinking there's I saw a couple of things that made me think it was a faith-based organization.
Yeah, we do not affiliate ourselves as a faith-based organization. Both my business partner and I are men of faith, and I would say that 99% of the members of Gathering the Kings have some type of faith background that they subscribe to. It's not all necessarily Christian or Jesus loving, but in order to be successful in life, I think that you have to have an aspect of faith. And so it is something that we talk about, but we don't classify ourselves as a faith-based organization.
I would say everybody has faith.
I
They,
agree.
even those that believe they don't understand, they just don't know where they're putting their faith. They don't fully realize it.
100%. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Interesting. So let me ask this, for somebody that, who are people that typically would come into that and find benefit? What are things that they're saying? That when you hear it, you're like, oh, wait a minute, I know what you need, and we have it.
Yeah. Being an entrepreneur is such an interesting feeling or interesting environment because most entrepreneurs are unrelatable in their social circles. People that work a job or family members that are, an employee for someone else, they don't understand the weight and pressure and stress that it takes to be a business owner. And so a lot of our members come to us because they don't have any sort of community. They feel very isolated and very alone. And they're looking for like-minded people that they can do life with, that they can talk to about things that are happening inside of their businesses. The cool thing about us having owners from all different industries is it doesn't matter what you do to make money. I know that if you're running a successful business, if you're running an organization, you've experienced the same type of pain and heartache and frustrations that I've experienced because you've had to deal with funding issues, you've had to deal with guy issues, you've had to deal with scheduling issues. And all business owners have those problems in their history. And so walking into a room where you can look at someone and they've experienced the same things that you've experienced, and you know that their advice is coming from a place of been there, done that, not textbook. It's comforting. And our members are recognizing that there's more to life, right? One of the filters that we use, Craig, when we evaluate whether someone's a good fit for Gathering the Kings is this phrase, grateful but not done. Super thankful for what they've accomplished. They recognize that, they're above average, but they also understand that there's another level that they can get to and that there's continued learning and continued pushing that they need to apply in order to keep moving forward in life.
And there's something really cool behind that that I don't know if you realize. And I'm not sure how old you are, but do you remember the O.J. Simpson days, O.J. trial?
Absolutely. Yep.
There was a jury consultant named Jo Ellen Demetrius that picked the O.J. Simpson jury.
Okay.
She found the only 12 people on the planet that thought O.J. was innocent. But wasn't necessarily that. She wrote a book called How to Read People, enormously powerful book that I recommend people read. I may have the title off a little bit, but Jo Ellen Demetrius, she picked the O.J. Simpson jury. And she said all these little things where you ask somebody a question, they glance up to the right or to the left, figure out their line or telling the truth. She said those will fail you. Those will always fail you. The one predictor, one thing that she's found that it tells her more about somebody than anything else, is where they are in life compared to where they expected to be in life at this point. People who have accepted or exceeded where they expected to be, the grateful people, are more gracious, forgiving, understanding, will give people a second chance, give them the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
people that are below where they expected to be at this point in life are angry, backstabbing, conniving, mean, just all these things. So when she picked the O.J. Simpson jury, she was just looking for people that had achieved more in life than they expected, knowing that that would make them grateful. And
That's so
which,
fascinating.
and so that's kind of, I don't
Yeah.
know if you realize that, but when you add into your system, it's important because you don't want the other people, they're the cancer that will ruin the organization.
Yeah. You know, kind of our tongue-in-cheek joke is no jerks allowed because life's too short for that.
Now, one of the things that was that we were talking about that was in your bio was being able to do this. Well, actually, we talked about this a little bit in the green room about being able to prioritize family. And I think that's a tension for the anybody that's in business. It's certainly a tension for me. I mean, I told my wife years ago, she said, "Oh, we don't have to do this. I know you're trying to catch up at work." And I said, "This is my entire future. I will always be behind. There's always stuff that I'm going to have to do. I'll never be caught up."
Right. Yeah.
But it's still a challenge for me. I still run into that. How do people do this, achieve great things without sacrificing the family?
Yeah, that's a big question. You know, one of the things when we were talking earlier in the green room that I mentioned to you is I'm super passionate about this idea because I have not applied it well in my own personal life. You know, I have allowed multiple marriages to die at the altar of success and pushing towards something bigger and better in my career. You know, one of the common things that I think a lot of entrepreneurs get started in business for is for time freedom, for the ability to do what they want, when they want, with who they want, whenever they want. And that sounds really fun on the front end, but once you get into the slog of actually building the business, you realize this is a 24-hour a day proposition. And if you don't have a good system in place, that it will absolutely control your life. And so what we do inside of Gathering the Kings and specifically inside of our coaching program is we help entrepreneurs reprioritize how they apply a time filter for their lives and their businesses. Because to your point, there's always going to be another emergency. There's always going to be something that pops up. There's always going to be a deadline for something. And if you allow that to drive the boat all of the time, you're never going to be able to enjoy the ocean.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jake, this has been really interesting. And I mentioned, somebody first mentioned you to me probably 2 years ago. And I've been looking forward to meeting you. And so it's glad, happy to finally have you here on Leaders and Legacies. How can folks reach you?
I'm fairly active on LinkedIn and Facebook. You can find me at Jake Isaacs, and the website is gatheringthekings.com. You can find out more about our mastermind program and more about the coaching that we do individually with entrepreneurs.
Excellent. Well, thanks again for coming on Leaders and Legacies.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest. And sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content to make sure you don't miss anything. Please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll See you next time.